Film Nerds Unlimited. Lo-fi movie conversations with high-quality movie connoisseurs. Issue 132. Ben Stark of Wondermill Films. Ben Flanagan of AL.com.
Ben, how are you?
Ben Stark, I'm good.
Good. So this past weekend was, I think, the final days of San Diego Comic-Con. Last year, you and I talked about the bits of news and clips and things that came out of that event. And this year was, it seems like it was a little bit bigger than last year. And so we thought we'd talk about it, kind of touching on most of the major things. We probably won't touch on everything because there was so much, but we'll try to hit the major stuff and see where we stand and where our anticipation level is for all of these things that don't exist yet, right? These trailers and hype pieces for movies that we can't watch right now. But I wanted to start off with Wonder Woman, which got its first official trailer. We had seen like a little preview, some footage a few months ago. And of course, the character of Wonder Woman made her debut in Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice earlier this year. But she's got her own movie now and directed by Patty Jenkins. And that movie has a trailer and they premiered it this weekend. It's online. And man, it is awesome. I am so psyched for this movie. I've watched this trailer like four times. It's just great. It looks like the way that people have trouble getting over new interpretations of Batman because they feel like, you know, Batman 89 was the ultimate version or Superman the movie because Christopher Reeves and Richard Donner's first movie was the ultimate version. I feel like this is like that iconic Wonder Woman movie that has been gestating for so long, and now we're finally going to get it. And it looks great. It looks like it has everything, and I'm super pumped for it. How about you?
Definitely, it's arguably the highlight of the weekend. Like it's a good place to start here because it was the headliner for me. Like coming out of Comic-Con weekend, because I don't know what people's expectations were for Wonder Woman, to be honest with you, because of all of the negative attitude and blowback that came with Batman versus Superman, or really arrived before the movie came out, let's be quite honest. But,
sure.
You know, part of the consensus after that, once people had seen it, was, well, I did like the Wonder Woman stuff. So I guess it was safe to assume that that would translate into excitement for the standalone movie. And we had a teaser trailer that everybody seemed to like okay, and everybody seemed to be generally positive about. But yeah, with this full trailer, it seems like they really went for it. And you can kind of see a bloated budget in a good way. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, it's right there. Yeah. It's all
yeah,
right there.
Yeah. It looks fantastic. The action looks excellent. Like, I mean, the quality of the cinematography looked outstanding.
Right.
Gal Gadot looked
the stunts
electrifying.
So practical, you know. I mean, obviously there's a ton of CGI in there, but it looks so clean and it looks so well composed and real. That part where she snaps, I don't even know what's happening, but she like snaps a gun across her back. Like every time that moment happens, I just like kick a trash can across the room because it's so awesome.
Yeah, you know, it honestly, like, we don't know a lot about Patty Jenkins as a feature filmmaker. I mean, she made Monster, and that's it. And, you know, people typically liked Monster. You know, nobody really had a lot to say about the quality of the filmmaking as much as they did, obviously, Charlize Theron's performance. So I think we see a pretty severe contrast in style between these two movies so far. And just in terms of the clean cinematography, a lot of the hyper slow-mo used during the action sequences, to his credit, I think that there is an obvious influence from the better aspects of what Zack Snyder can do with a camera and how he can stage action, right? And so I see that there, among other things. So in a way, I guess you could say that there are aspects of Snyder tone at play here. But that being said, I think it looks generally like a totally different movie and has totally different grammar than his DC movies so far. So, yeah, like everything's working for me. The way they sort of teased the story in it, again, Godot seems to be much better here than she was able to be in Batman versus Superman. She obviously had very little to say and do, but she made an impact with what she had to say and do in that. But yeah, I mean, we both like Chris Pine, so it'll be interesting to see sort of the dynamic of him in a secondary role. There's a great line in the movie where he tells Wonder Woman, when I guess he hears about her plan for saving the world or fighting the bad guys, he says, "I can't let you do this." And she says, "What I do is not up to you." So making a big statement there, obviously, about the gender war at play here and sort of a commentary on the industry as a whole. And that should be a fun aspect to it. But I doubt it's going to be one that they oversell, because really the star here is Godot and the action, and it all looks really fun.
Yeah, I one more quick thing and then we can move on. The fact that, oh, by the way, I agree with your Snyder comparison as much as it pains me. I agree with what you're saying there, and I see what you're saying. I just had to put that on the record so that I'm not just a hater across the board. The few shots where it's like a World War One battlefield, and it's dreary, and the soldiers are all, you know, in their fatigues, and it's just everything is drab, and then there's this moment where you see her and she's in her armor and it's bright red and it's bright blue and it's just standing out against all the dreariness. That is just so awesome. And it's so encouraging that they're really leaning into the spectacle of this superhero. And, yeah, like I said, I feel like, obviously, I haven't seen the movie because it doesn't exist yet, but this feels like the Wonder Woman movie that it almost would. If it's as good as this, it may have been worth waiting all these decades for it.
Yeah, and can I make one more note?
Sure.
So I've seen you mention this via text, and I also did. So when the title card comes up and they play the Wonder Woman theme music that we heard in Batman versus Superman, that is the one false note in this trailer. And quite honestly, I thought it was pretty wonkily used in Batman versus Superman. Like, as soon as she appeared during that climactic battle with Doomsday, once her music kicked in, it really took me out of it. And it really sort of sent the tone of the movie in a 180, as it did in this trailer, too. As soon as the music starts playing, I'm like, wait, no, it was all awesome until now. I think I just have a problem with the Wonder Woman theme. I don't really care for it.
Yeah, that's when Batman Superman fell apart. No, I like the theme on its own. I think it's the best part of the score for that movie. So I'm on opposites of you there, but I do agree that it feels very tacked on here. I mean, it's not like it's not a trailer that asks for a big theme at the end. So I'm not sure what else would have fit there, but yeah, it definitely, I agree with you. It sticks out like a sore thumb. It feels like something. I mean, if the Snyder influence on the visuals was a good thing, this seems like it may be a vestige of that Batman-Superman origin, and something that the studio was like, well, we got to connect this to that movie somehow. But I'm willing. I'll admit that it feels tacked on, but I'm willing to give who, I'm not sure who's composing the music in the actual movie, but I'm willing to wait it out and see, you know, if that person can play off of this theme and make it a little bit more organic.
I don't think that there is a composer currently listed for the movie. So, I mean, I assume, like, if nobody's listed right now and that music appeared in Batman versus Superman, is it safe to assume that either Hans Zimmer or Junkie XL came up with that theme?
Yo, I mean, that sounds 100% like a Hans Zimmer theme. It in a way, it almost sounds like the Catwoman theme from Dark Knight Rises, but with a little bit more electronic stuff going on.
Well, to me, it sounds like it could be more Broken Arrow Hans Zimmer than anything.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
Hey, I like the Broken Arrow thing. I'm just saying, like, it sounds like it's from a different era, and
it does.
With respect to the Broken Arrow soundtrack.
If you're making this World War One period piece, then, you know, maybe Junkie XL isn't your best option. But, you know, I like I said, I'm willing to see right now based on the moments, the little moments of this trailer and the visuals. I'm trusting Patty Jenkins. I've never seen Monster, but I definitely want to now. I mean, it was on my list to see before, but now it's kind of bumped up there. So I'm in the bag for this one. Also, they released not a trailer, but a collection of clips set to a White Stripes song for Justice League. Again, it's hard to judge this. Where are you at on this one?
I like this trailer. I liked it a lot. I think it just seems a little more focused than what we got with the Batman versus Superman marketing, which I really liked all that much. I think I liked the initial trailer okay, like the first teaser trailer, but I didn't really care for the following trailers, and I was really looking forward to that movie, and I ended up actually liking the movie, but I like me some good trailers, and I think they did better this time, and for me, it's one of the highlights of the Comic-Con weekend for sure. And I think it's more of a trailer than just a series of clips. I mean, it tells a story in that Bruce Wayne is recruiting the Justice League, and we get some fun moments with, I would say with each of them, but we don't really get much with Cyborg, and except for the line at the end of the trailer and a quick look at him. And, you know, I hope that, I wonder if the collective thought out there is that this is Deathlock adjacent. Because I don't know a ton about the Cyborg character. I'm going to go ahead and admit it, but I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do. I mean, because just based on looks alone, it looks like a cool character. But I thought that the moment with Bruce Wayne and the Flash was good. I thought that despite the bizarre choice of where they've gone with Aquaman, just sort of at the onset, I thought that stuff looked really well shot, well composed, and I thought that it communicated something simple and something fun. And I think that the main takeaway from the Justice League trailer here is that there is a clear shift in tone from one movie to the next. And you remarked that maybe all it took was Zack Snyder just got a note to make it funnier. And look, maybe that's a good note, because I think that the humor actually plays in this trailer. So,
but
if you get that note, okay, but if it's a good note, it's a good note.
Yeah, if it's a good note, if you can pull it off. Nothing in here suggests to me that comic timing is going to be this movie's strength. It was clearly going for the Marvel Cinematic Universe kind of like ironic observation thing, and it just nothing really sold it for me. I agree visually, it looks like it's doing good work, but to me, this feels like more of the same. It feels like, you know, if somebody asked you, hey, here's a trailer for Transformers Dark of the Moon, are you looking forward to it? That's kind of where I'm at. You know, it's like, I've been through this twice. Why is anybody expecting me to react differently, than to what I expect to get?
Here, I'm gonna put you on the couch here, okay, and give my diagnosis, because what it sounds like to me is a filmmaker who's a longtime fan of DC and the Justice League and always had in mind to make a trailer for his own Justice League movie using Icky Pump, and somebody did it, and it just tore your world apart.
No, it really isn't, because, again, I go back to Wonder Woman. I mean, like, I think anybody that makes movies and reads comic books has thought about what a movie of whatever would be like, you know, throughout their lives in their imagination. And there's been plenty of times where a movie has been different than what I thought it could be in my brain, and I've been very happy with the trailer or, you know, with the approach that they take. Wonder Woman, again, being a great example of that. Yeah, this has way more to do with the two movies that this is a sequel to, the director that we know very well at this point, and the material that's laid out in front of us that has to do with my vast psychological problems. So, yeah.
I don't
mean to suggest that this is the Justice League movie that you would have made, but yeah, I know you like that song, so you know.
God,
I thought it used well. I thought they used it well.
It's just like it just feels like a personal slap in the face. It feels like Zack Snyder has been hiding in my shower, like listening to my complaints about the world, and just kind of, you know, it's an awesome song used for evil purposes. Is there anything else for DC?
Yeah, there was a Suicide Squad sort of trailer. Well, it was really sort of an advertisement for its soundtrack that has a bunch of original music from 21? I can't remember the name of this band.
Can we not talk about this?
I'm just saying, like, yeah, and there's like a Lil Wayne and Wiz Khalifa song, and, and Skrillex has a song.
It's all getting edited. This is all getting edited.
So anyway, regardless of all that stuff, there was new footage, and it was basically a new trailer for the movie. So, yeah, I've been in on Suicide Squad since last year's Comic-Con, so it's coming out in 2 weeks. I can't wait.
Yeah, I'll be there for sure. And we talked at length about the footage last year, so I we're so close to it. I don't even understand why it's being marketed, but I guess of course it is because we're 2 weeks away. Well, what else? So, and then Warner Brothers also had Kong Skull Island. Is that Warner Brothers?
It's Universal, isn't it? Like, surely if like you
no.
I thought Kong was under the Universal umbrella, is it not?
I think it used to be. And then they switched licenses. Well, I think that for sure King Arthur is Warner Brothers. Any thoughts on that?
No. When was the last, like, really good King Arthur movie? I'm asking the wrong person this question because...
I have an answer. Let me answer this.
Okay, so when was the last good King Arthur movie?
2004, with the release of Antoine Fuqua, his quasi remake of Seven Samurai. I'm doing the Graham Mission Impossible 2 thing here, with Clive Owen. Not a great movie, but I like it a lot, and the director's cut is even better. It's not, you know, if I'm not a Arthurian legend scholar, but if I was, I could see myself not liking that movie. But it seems like this is a similar thing where they're trying to take King Arthur and make him cool, and I just don't know if that's gonna work.
Well, I think they kind of tried that with the Fuqua version.
Saying is that I can see why people wouldn't like that because it is trying to take like a cool, gritty approach. For me, it works, but I understand if it wouldn't work for somebody that's really in love with this material.
No, I didn't love it, and it's not like I'm in love with the material. I mean, I love King Arthur stories, but yeah, to me, the best King Arthur movie is still Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
You're not going down the First Knight?
No, I do path. Like, I think First Knight is fine. Graham
Sword
loves
in the Stone?
First Knight. Huh?
Sword in the Stone?
Yeah, Sword in the Stone too. Yeah. I guess it's a toss up between Sword in the Stone and Monty Python. And yes, First Knight is fine. There have been good King Arthur movies. I don't know that there's necessarily been the ultimate movie, and maybe that's what this will be. And I like Guy Ritchie, and I am in the camp who actually likes Charlie Hunnam, and I think he can be
sure.
a good leading man. I mean, we are noted Pacific Rim fans, and I think he has the strength of that movie. But the first 20 seconds of this trailer looked like a Guy Ritchie movie, and that kind of had me excited. And then the last 2 minutes of it look like just sort of the dreck we tend to get with these reboots, and it didn't excite me in the least. But look, Guy Ritchie's a good filmmaker. You've seen The Man from U.N.C.L.E., so you've seen his
Love
most
it.
Recent output.
Yeah,
you like that. So I plan to give that a chance at some point, and someday I will probably give this King Arthur movie a chance.
Yeah, I think it'll probably be fun. My expectations aren't huge. I don't think it's going to – I mean, I hate doing this kind of thing, but I don't think it's going to make a lot of money. I feel like King Arthur is kind of in that Tarzan realm of just a character that's been around for so long that audiences aren't willing to go see it just because they think it's so old and overdone. But I guess we'll find out. And I agree with you. There's a lot of stylistic flair it seems like some of those are Guy Ritchie archetypes in there, but then other parts of this look like Seventh Son or something, you know, just a generic medieval action movie.
Yeah, you said it. And yeah, you know, look, Guy Ritchie, I was on board like everybody else after those first couple of movies. Look, I'm a Swept Away defender, okay? So I should be giving Guy Ritchie a pass for life for seeing pretty much everything he does forever, but I don't know. I can't guarantee I'm going to see this in the theater. What I will say about its box office chances, Game of Thrones has sort of given medieval stuff another chance, and I know that's TV versus you know, feature films, and there are other medieval set shows out there that people seem to really like. So maybe that's why they thought this had a chance, and they also cast a couple of Game of Thrones people, I noticed, in the movie. So maybe they're putting all of their eggs in that basket. Who knows?
Well,
but
it worked.
I'll give it more of a chance than you, I think.
It worked for Warcraft. I'll close out on this note with, just go see Man from U.N.C.L.E. I wasn't crazy about the Sherlock Holmes movies. I, like everybody else, was crazy about Guy Ritchie when he first hit. I think he was kind of, he went and did a studio thing and it was weird, but Man from U.N.C.L.E. is a really great example of him doing studio things with his own sensibilities. It feels, with his own sensibilities mixed in with those of Steven Soderbergh, who was originally developing that project. So I think that alone should make people check it out. Let's just go ahead and pretend that Kong is Warner Brothers.
It is Warner Brothers. I'm looking at it.
Okay. I thought that they, with Legendary, kind of picked it up, and then they're planning on mixing it up with Godzilla eventually. So any thoughts on this trailer?
We're in the same ballpark, I think, of the King Arthur Tarzan place, where I don't know that we necessarily needed another King Kong movie, especially, I know it's been 11 years since, or I guess it'll be 12 years by the time this comes out, since the Peter Jackson King Kong, which we also probably didn't need, but, you know, at least they're trying something different, and yeah, it looks, I like that it's set in the 70s. And I think, you know, the trailer is really effective, and there's some really powerful imagery in it. And this has a pretty stacked cast I'm looking at right now with people, you know, the big name stars like Tom Hiddleston,
sure,
Brie Larson, Samuel Jackson, but John Goodman's in it. A couple of the actors from Straight Outta Compton, Jason Mitchell and Corey Hawkins, Toby Kebbell, who we like so much, and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. And you get John C. Reilly and Tom Wilkinson and Shea Whigham and John Ortiz. I mean, the list goes on. This has an insane cast, and I'm looking at it now, and it's got a production budget listed at $190
million. Oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, just for that reason alone, I guess I'm just kind of rooting for it, just because that's a lot of money. And, you know, I personally, just as a film fan and a populist film fan, don't love seeing, like, major studio flops, but with a swollen budget like that, it's always possible.
Yeah, it's painful, and it's budgets like that that make a studio make the weird decision to name this Kong : Skull Island, which is a title that is just aesthetically egregious. It's just gross to look at, and it just bugs me because when I know my expectations should not be in this, but when I look at King Kong, 1933. And it sits, you know, on my top 100 favorite movies of all time list or whatever, it says King Kong. I can't imagine looking at a list like that and seeing a title that says Kong : Skull Island. It's just, I don't know, it's just the environment that we're in, and it's bugging me, and it's coming across in this movie, which I agree, it looks pretty rad. The cinematography looks fantastic. I'm not sure how I feel about the bipedal, you know, totally bipedal Kong, but I'm sure it'll look awesome, and the cast is great and all that stuff. But yeah, it's just, it feels like when you feel like you got to slap Kong across the top, which is not a brand that anybody but like dogs that love chew toys really responds to, I immediately feel like you don't have any confidence in your $190 million movie. And then I start asking myself, why did you spend that much money?
Yeah, and have confidence in a title like Skull Island.
That's a
badass awesome
title, but that's like all, if literally, if that was the name of this movie, I would, you know, if I'm like a 6 out of 10 on the anticipation meter right now, I would be at a full 10. It would just be like, I'd be so excited, but that one little thing really waters it down for me for whatever reason.
Yeah, call-in titles are the worst.
They are. Well, we're about to get a slew of them. I think we're done with DC and Warner Brothers.
There's one more Warner Brothers thing.
Nine Lives?
I know you. I think you
Nine
hate
Lives, Warner Brothers.
Well, there are two, actually. So there's the Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. So that's...
Oh, yeah. I'm down. I haven't watched the thing. I don't need to. I'll see it.
All right. I'm glad you are. So the next one is the Lego Batman movie. And
no. No.
So did you like the Lego movie, right? Or no, you're the one guy who didn't.
It's fine. Yeah, I don't like laughing or smiling. So it really
right,
bugged
apparently.
Me. No, it's fine. I like it. It's funny. I just the visuals of it were very busy. There's nothing to hang on to. I felt like the third act was didn't work for me really, and this whole Lego thing it's just a freaking commercial, people. Like, just they're your kids. It's aimed at your kids, and they're buying the stuff, and it's pre-made for you these days. You can't even be creative with Legos anymore. It's I don't know. I think
you
I'm,
don't
I'm
think Captain America: Civil War was a commercial for
right, but it
Captain
was a commercial
America Legos
with human people with faces. It's just in like
what's the difference?
Hair
follicles. Look at the animation. Doesn't always have human faces. Like,
right,
no,
but it's
I
still going for something. I don't know. Look,
I don't buy it.
We talked about the psychological problem thing. We don't need to go into that more. But it's just for whatever reason. You have a problem with mocap. I have a problem with Lego cap. It's just it doesn't sit right with me. And this whole Lego Batman thing. And it was a funny side thing. Why do we have to make this? It's Minions all over again. It's a funny little thing in a feature film that's getting blown up into its own feature film because Warner Brothers is so desperate to make money off of anything in their studio that clicks.
Yeah, it's like with standalone movies like this with the Lego or the spinoff movies, it's like you're playing like the Quiet Game where you have to walk through a boardroom without getting noticed by all of the studio executives sitting at the table. And if you make like a pin drop of noise, that being people saying they liked Batman in the Lego movie, then one of the studio executives is going to turn his head and notice you as you're trying to make no sounds whatsoever. And
once they
hear that pin drop, they're going to make a feature length movie out of it. So
yeah,
I think that's kind of what happened with the Lego Batman movie. They heard like enough people say, yeah, we liked that part of the movie. So that meant, okay, well, let's spend a bunch of $1 million and make a spinoff.
Right. It's kind of like whenever after Tom Cruise's character in Tropic Thunder was a hit, there was that awful rumor that they were going to make a movie with
yes.
that character. Same thing.
Exactly.
It's horrifying. And yeah. And I mean, look, if anybody loves the Lego movie and is really excited for this, great. That's awesome.
I think it looks fun.
I'm not saying that this is a bad thing for humanity or that people are stupid for liking it or anything like that. I'm just, personally, I just could not be less interested. And I'm sure one day I'll see why it's so brilliant and I'll feel like a dummy. But right now, that's not where I'm at.
All right, well, let's get to the colon cleanse.
Thor, Ragnarok. Well, really, that's it. I was gonna list off all these Marvel titles with colon. Oh, Spider-Man Homecoming, I guess. With colons in the title, but really it's just those two, I think.
I guess Guardians of the Galaxy has a comma, maybe?
Yes,
I don't know.
Which I love that. Let's do more commas. Yeah, so we heard about footage for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. I think we heard about footage for Spider-Man Homecoming. We heard about footage for Thor Ragnarok. We got a casting announcement for Brie Larson as Captain Marvel, and we got a new trailer for Doctor Strange. Is that basically all the Marvel stuff? I mean, obviously we can talk about it more in detail, but are those all the big points, or am I missing any major stuff?
Did you say Black Panther casting?
No. Yeah, okay. So there was Black Panther casting. Was that the Michael B. Jordan? Yeah, okay. I feel like that was rumored already, so it didn't stand out.
Yeah, they announced Lupita Nyong'o, I think, a while back, too, and that was part of the presentation, so... Yeah, but still, you know, that's exciting. Coogler Jordan continues, which is great. So, yeah, good on that. I can't wait. I mean, we got a bunch of logos for all these movies, and I guess that's exciting. Like, I saw a headline that was like, Thor has the best logo of Comic-Con yet. And I looked at it and I was like, okay. All right, well, I mean, yeah, but see, you say, you know, we heard about all this footage. I did not. I don't like reading trailer descriptions.
I know that there was footage, but I have not looked at what the footage is. I agree with
you.
And there's nothing
it's
less
sad.
Exciting to me. Yeah.
It's sad. It's super sad that people, I don't know, like I understand people's excitement and they'll like read anything about movies they're looking forward to. I don't begrudge them for that, but I don't know. It's just that thing of like, no, let's just watch the trailer instead of you know, hearing some jabroni's description of it, let's actually see it and then talk about it, you know, instead of, I don't know, it's like it takes something out of the trailer for me.
Some of the footage that we definitely did see was a new trailer for Doctor Strange. Did you see that?
Yeah, definitely. And I'm really excited about Doctor Strange. He was a character I liked but didn't totally understand as a kid, you know, I don't know if
that's going to get any better.
No, probably not. And yeah, like, I mean, the way I put it earlier was it seems to be even weirder than we thought it was going to be or like than we initially knew it was going to be. And that's probably a good thing in the minds of hardcore Doctor Strange fans. And I'm honestly going to go into this pretty fresh, not knowing a ton about Doctor Strange. And you know, I'll do the necessary studying for the character and try to refamiliarize myself with what exactly, who exactly he is and what he brings to the table. But yeah, I mean, this looks all kinds of bonkers. And I mean, I love the casting of Benedict Cumberbatch. And I mean, this has another A-list cast. And so, yeah, I can't wait. I mean, it seems like it's taking a lot of chances visually, even though it's kind of ripping from Inception and the fake beard game is not very strong on Benedict Cumberbatch at times in the movie, but that's my own problem to worry about. But no, I mean, this looks pretty awesome, and it comes out this year, which is exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's kind of like the Wonder Woman thing where I need to see nothing else from this movie. I'm 100% in, and I will be there whenever it comes out. So can we just all stop talking about it until I know I can go pay for it? I'm in the same camp. I mean, there's no denying how the visuals have been influenced by Inception, but I do feel like they take them to such another level that it's a good kind of influence. You know, it's not a Battleship Transformers situation. It's really taking it to a new dimension, as you were, whatever that phrase is. I'm gonna probably cut that out.
Well, and speaking of taking it to like new heights.
Thank you.
Michael Giacchino is scoring this movie and seems to be moving himself squarely into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which is probably the best news that could come from the Marvel Comic-Con weekend. So
yeah, I mean, that's the scores have been very good for Marvel movies, but they have lacked a kind of organic quality and a unified quality, and that's something that, man, if they could, they could get Giacchino to fix that issue. Boy, that'd be great. So I'm excited for that. Is there any other footage from? I don't think there's any other footage from Disney or Marvel, really, or any other studio that we have to talk about, right?
No, I think we hit all the high notes. And again, I mean, there was the casting announcements for Captain Marvel and.
Oh right. How are you on that? Where are you at on Brie Larson as Captain Marvel?
Everybody seems to really like Brie Larson. I'm no different. I know literally nothing about Captain Marvel, which I'm guessing is the same for most people out there, and just in terms of our general familiarity with Marvel characters, Captain Marvel is just not a name that comes up a lot, and so I think this character is going to be really new to a lot of people. And the big news, clearly, is that this is the first female-driven Marvel Cinematic Universe movie, and it's like, okay, well, it's taken long enough for
right.
me to get here, and yeah, I mean, if we're grading just based on paper who they cast, then they hit a home run. I mean, they got the defending Oscar-winning champion, right? And Brie Larson is just moved squarely into the A-list, and she's, again, extremely likable. Whether or not she can, you know, and I don't know that this necessarily matters for Marvel. They seem to have things under control. I was going to say, if she can lead it to the box office promised land, I don't think it matters because she's in good hands. I mean, you've had people like Paul Rudd be the star of a Marvel movie, and it did good enough, you know. So as long as they're making good movies, I think the Marvel marketing department is in firm control.
Yeah, that's one thing about the whole Marvel machine. This situation is kind of interesting to me. I'm not sure how I feel about it, really. And you get it on the DC side, too, is we get these casting announcements for these movies, and we know they're getting, you know, there's scripts that are being worked on, but they don't have a director yet. And, you know, it's kind of the Marvel method, but the same happened with Wonder Woman. I don't think Patty Jenkins had a say in Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. And so it happened with Black Panther 2, with Chadwick Boseman. I mean, I guess I trust these studios at this point, since those are good casting decisions, to do this. But it's always kind of weird that we're living in this age where we have these movie titles, movie posters, stories, everything, like lead cast, kicked out before a director ever hops on board. Because unless I'm missing something massive, Captain Marvel doesn't have a director yet.
No, you're right, but it does have screenwriters, one of whom co-wrote Inside Out and The Good Dinosaur. And if you're picking a Pixar writer to help, you know, shape your story or tell your story, then you're at least on the right path. And you know, look, there can't be a director without a script. So I'm glad they're picking at least one good screenwriter that I'm familiar with, and I'm guessing she's going to do her darndest and write a good script, and it's going to attract a good director. So. That's the
right,
plan.
And obviously the casting should, you know, attract a good director as well. Yeah, I'm with you. It's good news for everybody involved, and I'm excited for the direction that Marvel is going in. I'm excited for the direction that DC is going in. So I feel like last year we had kind of like a hissy fit fight about, you know, both of these companies after Comic-Con, but I'm glad that things are looking bright. For our, at this point, our accepted fates of watching nothing but superhero movies for the next 40 years.
For more Film Nerds Unlimited, go to filmnerds.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter. If you like what you hear, rate and review our podcast on iTunes. Keep an eye out for the next issue of Film Nerds Unlimited, coming soon.